Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
You're tuned in to the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that helps you take control of your financial future. Whether you're 5 years from retirement or just getting started, we've got the strategies, tools, and experience to help make the most of your nest egg. Retirement planning specialists David Pipes and Steve Zarek are two trusted voices in retirement planning with over 30 years of combined experience helping hardworking Americans navigate 401k rollovers, income planning, tax strategies, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. I am David Pipes, and if you're wondering how to get yourself on the right track for retirement, or how to turn your savings into steady income, you're in the right place.
And I'm Steve Zarek. Each week, we break down the complex world of retirement in plain English. No jargon, just smart strategies to help you retire with confidence.
Now, let's dive into today's show and start paving the way to your smooth retirement. Here are your hosts, David Pipes and Steve Zarek.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that delivers expert insights, actionable advice, and real-world strategies to help you retire confidently and comfortably. This is the radio show and podcast that breaks down key topics like investment planning, tax strategies, Social Security optimization, estate planning, and much, much more, all with that clear focus of helping you build a secure retirement. Thank you for making our show a part of your weekend. I'm Jim Tarabocchia alongside retirement planning specialists David Pipes and Steve Zarek. We'll talk to them in just a second. Today, we're diving into how Medicare choices, the economy, and your retirement income all play a role in what you pay for health care and how the right planning can keep both your health and your finances in great shape. So whether you're already retired or getting close, understanding how your money affects your Medicare premiums and vice versa could save you thousands over time. So stay tuned as we unpack the smart strategies that connect your wallet, your wellness, and of course, your future. But before we get things started, I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and schedule your 100% complimentary consultation, that retirement consultation with retirement planning specialists David Pipes and Steve Zarek today. It's a free offering just for listening to our show. Our listeners can meet with those guys to review their own financial situation for your family or for even your business. And there's absolutely no obligation. Visit retirementplanningpipeline.com for more information. All right. Understanding Medicare coverage choices, laying the foundation, how Medicare works and why choices matter financially. Have you ever wondered if you picked the right Medicare plan? I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of Americans out there, people listening to this show, they probably have that question in their mind, wondering, did I pick the right Medicare plan? So guys, let's open up today's show explaining Medicare parts A, B, and C.
Thank you, Jim. I guess since David's quiet, I'll jump into this. I know I've been dealing with Medicare for a long time, 3 decades now. So it's, you know, when I got started in this business back in, back in 1993, you know, Medicare just standardized Medicare supplements back then. So I've been around Medicare a long, long time. And I think it's super important in retirement for folks to understand their options, how Medicare works. We've run into people all the time that make bad decisions on, you know, taking Part B, not taking Part B, maybe selling off some qualified funds, not realizing it could affect Medicare. Well, let's start with Medicare A, B, and C. You know, we have a short time on this show, but I want to kind of simplify Medicare because I think too many people complicate it. And I like the way David brings it up to our clients. What is the important parts of Medicare? Well, really, Medicare is the federal health insurance program for people age 65 or older in America. As long as they've worked enough quarters, they can get Part A at no cost because they pay through their payroll taxes. So Part A, which is the hospitalization. So when somebody's overnight in the hospital and they're on Medicare, it falls under what's called Medicare Part A. Now, that is original Medicare. It's been around, like I said, the 3 decades I've been doing this. And then we're going to talk about original Medicare first. Then we're going to jump into some of the other different types of Medicare plans. But going back to Part A, that is your hospitalization. If you work enough quarters or your spouse do, then you get Part A at no cost. Now, Part B is a little bit different. Part B has a premium associated with it. And I know we're going to talk about the premiums later on. But Part B is everything outpatient that falls under outpatient surgery. You know, if you're seeing a doctor at his doctor's office, that's under Part B. Part A, you have to be admitted in the hospital for it to be billed under original Medicare Part A. So really you have Part A and B, and they've been around, like I said, for 30 some years, since the 60s when it came out. But basically Medicare, the important thing is to realize Medicare does not cover all your health care expenses. There's gaps to Medicare. And when you look at Part A and Part B, which is called original Medicare, typically our clients in retirement are looking to cover those gaps. Last thing you want to do is go in and have a surgery or a major operation and have a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 bill in retirement. So that can really hurt somebody. So typically people say, well, how do I cover the gaps? Now, there's several ways to cover the gaps. I'm going to kind of follow along with the alphabet here. If you go from A to B and you go into C, Part C stands for Medicare Advantage Plans. So it's a little bit different than being on original Medicare, but Part C is a way to cover the gaps in Medicare. I think the important thing, like I said earlier, is looking at these gaps. How do we cover them? What choice should I make? And you know, really it depends on planning for your healthcare and what you want your healthcare pipeline or healthcare future, healthcare retirement to look like, because there are very different ways to cover those gaps. Original Medicare with a Medicare supplement has additional premiums. It's private insurance. It follows A and B. So if there's gaps in A and B, then you pick up a supplement to cover those gaps. But if Medicare doesn't pay, the supplement doesn't pay. So it's very important people understand that. You know, if you want to go get Botox or, you know, some, you know, experimental surgery and Medicare doesn't cover it, the Medicare supplement's not going to cover it as well. When you go to Part C, which is called Medicare Advantage, that is a little bit different. Part C, you pick a company and you partner with that company for 12 months, you know, January 1 to the end of the year. And Part C says, okay, we're going to take the funds from Medicare. We're going to design this plan. It's a private plan. And whatever the company is, they're going to determine what your co-pays and cost share are. And it all has to be approved by Medicare. So I think what people don't understand is, oh, Part C, those companies can do whatever they want. No, they're regulated by Medicare. They're just two different ways to cover the gaps.
Yeah. And you know, Steve even said this earlier, and I'm glad you did, Steve. I make it a lot more simple. I mean, you know, I don't do a ton of Medicare, especially with my clients, but maybe just because I have agents under me, of course, that help out with that. But we do think it's, I mean, I bring it up to every client because it is a big part of the retirement plan, right? Financials, when a client meets me, I always touch on Medicare first, because you need to understand, hey, look, what plans are you on? How is that affecting your Part B premium, which we're going to go over later. But, you know, one of the biggest things that a lot of times I hear, I don't pay for Medicare. And I'm like, yes, you do. You do. I mean, and a lot of my clients obviously have an income. Now, the Medicaid state program obviously covers, right, a lot of those Medicare expenses if you're lower than that threshold of income. But, you know, majority of it is all Medicaid, they're on care. Okay. So what happens is that Part B premium has that IRMA chart, which we're going to talk about soon. But income affects that.
Well, good point. I was, you know, one of the things I talked about earlier was Part A has no premium as long as you paid enough taxes throughout. It's 40 quarters throughout your working life, or you can collect off your spouse or working partner. So you don't have to pay for Part A, but Part B does have a core premium. And basically what that means is whoever's on Part B of Medicare, which is part of the original Medicare, that's outpatient services, there has to be a premium that's paid back to Medicare for that Part B insurance. Now, like you said, a lot of people say, well, it's free, I don't pay that, or I'm not paying a core premium, which pertains to their income, which I'll let you get into more later. But I think it's important to realize that there is a premium associated with Medicare, and that premium dollars is what buys you the outpatient coverage. And typically it's drawn from Social Security checks. So sometimes people don't even realize they're paying it. It just automatically comes out of Social Security for Part B. But there is a core premium. If somebody's not paying it, maybe they have a company paying it for them. You know, maybe it's under a Part C Medicare Advantage that's reimbursing them. Maybe they have state Medicaid help. But people have to understand Medicare is federal. It's run by the federal, you know, it's a federal insurance plan. So if you live in a state, because we cover multiple states, then they may be in like Florida and Pensacola area where their income doesn't meet a threshold and their assets are below that threshold, and the state will come up and pick that premium up for Part B for them.
Some things that I think that are super important, you know, when we talk about the Medicare industry also is how their Part B premiums are really affecting, you know, a lot to do with their Social Security. And when we see that, you know, you have to be careful with where you're taking out qualified funds. And I think we talk about this a lot, but we really see, you know, some clients that are actually, you know, whether they're taking that money out of their 401k, IRAs, things like that, and then it starts to affect their premiums because it goes 2 years back, right? And the Medicare system, it's not designed to be easy, right? It was designed to make it pretty confusing to where a lot of our clients don't know what the heck's going on. I mean, it's tough, but I think the main aspect of why we're important and why clients love us so much and why they love what we have to offer is because we make it simple, right? And I mean, that's the goal. I remember when I first started a couple of years ago, I had a client call me on my office number, and he said, "David, you know, I bought your voicemail, and I really want to let you know that." Four people try to explain medic to me, right? But it's so confusing. And what you just told me on one voicemail summed it all up. I want to come. I need you to help me out, right? And I think that's super important when it comes to this stuff. Is people don't want to feel that complex, right, Steve?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because you're the one that actually brought that to my attention a couple years ago. You know, we have over 20 licensed representatives in the area that can do Medicare through our office locally in Pensacola. And we, you know, we cover pretty much Panama City all the way to Mississippi. But one of the things I realized as I was going out and watching these people talk about Medicare, I felt like the advisors were trying to teach them A to Z on Medicare. And it was so confusing. People are falling asleep. They didn't understand it. You know, Medicare is complicated. The important thing to realize, and this is where you brought it to my attention, you know, is really looking at what is important to the client. In their situation, hospitalization, medical, because we all know as we get older, you know, we start using our healthcare more. So it's very important in retirement to have the right healthcare. And when you talk about Medicare, changing the rules, changing the timing, the different plans that come out, I mean, a lot of changes for 2026 right now that are things we haven't seen before in this industry. But I noticed 2 or 3 years ago, our representatives were spending an hour and a half to 2 hours going through Medicare with somebody, and they weren't any better than they were the 2 hours before they met with them. So we've really tried to hone our presentation to the people. And you know, I just did a seminar over there in Foley not too long ago last week, and you know, they asked me to speak Medicare, and I think I did it in 25 minutes, and everybody's like, "Man, that's the clearest I've understood Medicare since I've been looking at this." And so sometimes I think we try to give them too much information. It just confuses them. We have to tell them what's important, how it fits in their retirement plan, and then what gap coverage do they need? And that, you know, that gap coverage is important because you and I both know with our clients, David, that, you know, one may have a Medicare supplement, one may have a Medicare Advantage. And that's where we have to really give them a good advice or have them sit down with somebody that understands all the plans, all the carriers, and all their options out there.
Okay, and now that we understand the basics of Medicare choices, coming up next, we'll take a broader look at how the economy can change what you pay, even if you pick the perfect plan. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline.
Visit Retirement Planning Pipeline to schedule your free, no-obligation, complimentary consultation today. The Retirement Planning Pipeline will return in just a moment.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside.
Welcome back to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Here are your hosts, David Pipes and Steve Zarek.
Welcome back to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Thank you for making our show a part of your Saturday, wherever and however you may be listening. As we dive back into today's show, if you like the content we're providing, subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com, and search Retirement Planning Pipeline for weekly highlights and special content. Okay, how the economy shapes Medicare premiums, inflation, interest rates, and national spending, how macroeconomics trickle down to your premiums. These 6 tips from colonialpen.com will give you an idea of how to budget more efficiently for Medicare. So let's dive into those really quickly here. Number one, know your predictable Medicare expenses. Understand possible variable expenses. Know if you have an out-of-pocket maximum. Find new ways to save money. Seek new income opportunities. And number six, get professional help. So again, we'll go through them one more time. Number one, know your predictable Medicare expenses. Number two, understand possible variable expenses. Number three, know if you have an out-of-pocket maximum. Number four, find new ways to save money. Number five, seek new income opportunities. And finally, number six, get professional help. And that's where, of course, Steve, you come into play. And the clients that you work with, how have Medicare economics affected everyday household budgets?
Well, Jim, good question. You know, every household, you know, economics and income. I mean, if you look at the expenses, it's funny you brought up those 6 points. You know, the first one was no predictable Medicare expenses. Well, I don't know. Medicare is so random and so variable over the years. It's changing every year. So it is, to me, if you, it's hard to find a predictable Medicare expense. The number two was, you know, understand possible variable expenses. To me, there's quite a few variable expenses that people have to be aware of. I think the biggest way that you see the clients that are getting affected is not understanding, I guess, sticking their head in the sand, in the mud, so to speak. If somebody's not looking at the changes, keeping up with them, then they can get hit with sticker shock. And what I mean by that is, you know, coming into the new year here, there's some changes going on with prescription drugs and deductibles and co-pays. And you're really seeing the industry change mainly with costs going up, expenses going up. We don't quite have the amount that's in writing, but the word on the street is, you know, the Medicare Part B premium is going up by over 11% next year. So they're going to get a pretty hefty raise on the Medicare Part B premium. In turn, I also heard that, you know, the deductibles and co-pays are going to be going up by over 12%. So if they're not keeping up with those costs, you know, 10, 12% hike is a pretty big deal in retirement. You know, and then they have to pull out more money for income to cover these expenses. The other thing to understand when it comes to variable, you know, Medicare, we talked about Medicare A and B being original Medicare in the hospital, you know, outpatient. But really, when it comes to Medicare, some people think that Medicare covers long-term care costs. And I know we did another episode on long-term care, but when you're looking at Medicare, that is a variable expense because Medicare really only gives you partial coverage. And it's really rehab. If somebody gets sick, they go in the hospital a certain amount of time, then they go to a rehab facility. They get about 3 weeks of Medicare coverage. Anything that comes along when it comes to, you know, everyday care or extreme care, like I call, you know, Alzheimer's care, or somebody goes to a facility and they need help with everyday activities, Medicare doesn't pay any of that. So that could be very impactful for somebody's retirement plan because it could really interrupt a retirement plan if some illness or your injury comes along and they didn't plan for Medicare. They thought Medicare was going to cover it and it didn't cover it. Some of the other things that you look at, you know, we talk about interest rates, inflation, the IRMA, which we're going to get into here shortly, Medicare Part B costs. We talked about the core premium, you know, for clients that are on Medicare, but that is related to income. They started that several years ago. And basically what the government does, they go back and look at 2 years prior at your tax return, and they look at your modified adjusted gross income. And what they're looking at is if you hit a certain threshold of income. Now, right now, and to calculate the premium in 2025, that income, household income, is $212,000 of modified adjusted gross income, and it's $106,000 for an individual. Now, that seems like a lot, but when you start adding in dividends, you start adding in Social Security income, you know, pension income, retirement income, you know, and then any other business income. Some of my clients are still working. And they say, well, why am I paying $600-$700 premium for Part B and not the $185? And it's really because of where their income was 2 years prior. So right now, if we're looking at this year's income, is going to affect 2027 Medicare Part B premium. So that's really important when it comes to planning. When we sit down with our clients, you know, I talked to somebody, I'm actually meeting them again this evening. But he's looking at activating his Social Security, and his income for he and his wife is right around $190,000. So when we calculate him turning on his Social Security, you know, he's going to be at the 85% tax level. So he's going to be getting, you know, about $30,000. We had to calculate back, you know, he's only getting taxed on 85% of that. But then when we go back in and look, the good news is he's only getting 2 months this year of income. So it won't really affect his Part B premium in 2027. But next year, when we look at a full picture, a 12-month picture, his 2026 income will definitely affect what he's going to be paying for his Part B premium in 2028. So those are the things that we do when people meet with us. We try to look at the whole picture. Medicare is a big part of it. You know, looking at opportunities, looking at different plans. You know, that we're in a time of year right now where all the plans are changing when it comes to prescription drugs and the Medicare Advantage Part C plans. This is the time of year that everybody's getting all the announcements on the plan changes, and they're trying to pick a plan going into January 1 of next year. So it's real important that, you know, they spend time and sit down with somebody and look at all the different options.
That's exactly right. And remember, when inflation rises, so do costs across the board. But did you know that your Medicare premium is directly tied to how the government books look? So if your income affects your premiums, what about your retirement accounts? That's where smart financial planning can really make a difference. Visit retirementplanningpipeline.com today. You're listening to the Retirement Planning Pipeline.
Helping you take control of your financial future. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline.
I'm speaking with Brent Suriano, Director of Private Wealth at Synovus Bank. Brent, thanks so much for taking a few minutes for me. Appreciate your time.
No, it's my pleasure. Good morning. Thank you.
Well, you know, a lot of folks have been kind of scared to look at the, 401ks or their IRAs and any investments that they might have here since just about a little after the beginning of the year. Things have been really, really volatile. And, you know, I mean, people might say, well, okay, well, that's because of tariffs, or that's because of this, that, or the other. From your perspective there, why have we seen so much volatility in these recent months? And is it going to continue into, as we come up here, you know, kind of on the second half of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And obviously, it's on everyone's mind. I think, you know, 2025 is unique in a sense to where I think there's three factors that are really sort of kind of creating this uncertainty in the equity markets. And as we both know, you know equity markets like certainty, right? And listen, market volatility is not a new thing. It just depends on sort of what these external factors tend to happen. And in this year, I look at it from sort of three approaches. You know, number one, you need to look at Liberation Day, you know, back in February. You know, even though tariffs are not a new thing, Trump administration really put forth kind of a shock in the markets with the size of the tariffs that they were throwing out there, which caused some uncertainty, you know, from, you know, businesses and reciprocal tariffs and what, you know, the cost is going to look like. And so that kind of created some uncertainty early on this year. Now, of course, you look where we are now, we've sort of kind of brought some of that back with some, you know, countries coming to the table and some negotiations, you know, starting to happen. But still, you know, kind of the first part of that is that kind of created some uncertainty. When you look at number two, you know, it's really, we've been kind of stuck in this interest rate environment. What's the Fed going to do? You know, going into 2025, there was talk around 5 or 6 rate cuts. Now we're probably looking more at 2, if any, really kind of depend on what side of the balance sheet the Fed's going to play on, from job stability and growth to inflation. But again, still creates a little uncertainty for higher interest rates for longer, which does will have an impact on consumers and small businesses as that kind of plays out. And when you kind of tackle all that with higher rates for longer, with, you know, an increase in a debt around $36 trillion, you know, can the United States sustain that longer term? So that kind of creates uncertainty in point number two. Then the final point really comes down to the administration's tax and budget proposal, you know, known as the big, beautiful bill, so to speak. And, you know, I think if, you know, obviously it passing the House, now it's the Senate, there's probably some version that will get done. But I think the administration's target date is July 4th. So when you add kind of the uncertainty of what the tax landscape for individuals may or may not happen going into to next year, you add all three of those together, and we're kind of this little perfect storm of just uncertainty and why you're seeing the market kind of react on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's kind of what it all boils down to. Yeah.
Yeah, now in the second half of the year, you know, if you like we're in now, listen, if we get some good news with, you know, the tax and budget proposal going through, we get some more countries come to the table with, you know, putting together some tariff plans, we get a little more certainty towards the back half on what the rate environment will look like, you know, and with the economy going the way it is and companies still having some fairly good earnings, I think we're primed for a good second half. We just need some stuff, some wind in the sails with some of these things we just talked about.
Yeah, yeah, the need to be catching that wind in the sails, definitely. And you know, I mean, all of this, as you said, you know, a minute ago, it boils down to the uncertainty all around. And the same is true for individual investors as well. Those people who I spoke about, scared to look at their 401ks and everything. I mean, how do you approach helping people, encouraging people to not necessarily stay the course, obviously, but make some smart adjustments, perhaps, but not to freak out and you know, if the market has a really bad day, pull everything out and go to cash and put money under the mattress. You know, they've got to have a plan, right? And a long-term plan that doesn't have really emotions involved in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, there really has to be a disciplined approach when it comes to intermediate and longer term financial planning. And really that approach kind of starts with each individual investor and their families defining what that longer term goal is. When you write those goals out of what you're trying to achieve from a financial perspective, whether that's a certain lifestyle or income or education or philanthropic giving, your North Star is always going to be trying to achieve those end goals. And the intermediary ups and downs of the market, that's all that is versus taking your financial plan, which, by the way, it's not a static instrument. A financial plan is a tactical, living, and adjustable, breathing document that as our personal lives unfold and external dynamic forces come into play and have changes in your own personal life, the financial plan should adjust accordingly as well. And so when you kind of put a framework in place of what you're trying to accomplish, I think it allows us to shoulder some of the emotional turmoil we might go over because we always can reference back to, am I on pace to achieve these qualitative results that I want to accomplish for me and my family? And I always make kind of like a joke, like, you know, in most cases, nobody gets injured on a roller coaster unless you jump off midway, right? And so you kind of take it to the end and define that track.
That's very good. That's the first time I've heard that one. I like that a lot. And so just not a whole lot of time left here, Brent, but I just wanted to ask, you know, what is the best advice that you would have for folks going forward here? I mean, any closing sort of thoughts or something that you haven't touched on that comes to mind that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I would just say stay disciplined to your plan. You know, if you don't have a plan, define a plan. If you're not working with an individual or a group of either wealth professionals to help you manage some of the behavioral reactions that we tend to have as human beings, partner with the team, align your philosophies, your level of service, define the plan, and just make sure you're updating and reviewing that plan at minimum on an annual basis and adjusting accordingly. And in the long run, I think you'll find that you'll get there where you want to, what you want to achieve, essentially.
Very good. Well, Brent Suriano is Director of Private Wealth at Synovus Bank. Brent, thank you so much. Really do appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks so much. It's great being here.
Planning for retirement doesn't have to be overwhelming. Get expert insights, tools, and personalized strategies to secure your future. Visit retirementplanningpipeline.com today. Your retirement, your plan, your peace of mind.
This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. If you've missed any part of today's show or want to go back and listen to previous episodes, go ahead and subscribe and listen to the program in podcast form, Apple, Spotify, or whichever platform you enjoy your podcasts.
And now for some financial wisdom. It's time for the quote of the week.
All right, our quote of the week comes to us this week, courtesy of Barbadian politician Owen Arthur, who said, quote, "For he who has health has hope, and he who has hope has everything." Our thanks to the late Owen Arthur for providing us with this week's quote of the week. And that quote really sticks with the theme, talking a lot about Medicare this week with retirement planning specialist Steve Zarek. And as we dive back into today's show, if you like the content that we're providing, subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com, and search Retirement Planning Pipeline for those weekly highlights and special content. All right, the Medicare Maze, your 2026 coverage choices simplified. Medicare is changing fast in 2026. So here's what you need to know as the annual enrollment period has arrived. Here's what's new this year. Fewer plan options. Major insurers are consolidating and exiting lower performing markets. In fact, some members will get non-renewal letters and must pick new coverage. More narrow provider networks. Many plans are reducing hospital and doctor access to control costs. Always confirm your providers before re-enrolling. Stricter marketing oversight. CMS is cracking down on misleading ads. Expect clear comparisons and fewer spam calls. Updated star ratings. Clinical results and patient satisfaction now count more towards plan scores. Lower rated plans may merge or disappear. Benefit shifts, fewer extras, more preventive and chronic care focus. Telehealth and coordination programs are indeed expanding. So again, revisit your healthcare budget each year. Even if your premium looks the same, out-of-pocket costs and deductibles may creep up. Pair your Medicare review with an annual income and tax checkup to keep your plan affordable. All right, how qualified accounts affect premiums and how the right financial advisors, David and Steve, can help. Tax planning meets healthcare costs. When discussing Roth conversions, RMDs, and income smoothing strategies, we can't stress enough the advisor's role in integrating financial and, Steve, healthcare planning as well.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Want to back up for a second and touch on a few things that you mentioned with your bullet points. Talking about these plan changes, I think this year more than ever, we've seen the landscape with Medicare has changed, and pretty much what's happening with the Medicare Advantage plans. I saw the number. I don't know the exact number, but it was over 50% of the people on Medicare in the United States now have a Medicare Advantage plan. So I think when Medicare Advantage plan first came out, I believe it was back in 1999, they passed a bill and a law that started calling it Medicare Advantage, I believe in 2003. I want to spend a few minutes talking about the Medicare Advantage plans and what's happening to the landscape out there for next year. You know, what we've seen in the industry, and I cover multiple states now, so I kind of see it in the Atlanta area and Tennessee, and as well as down in Pensacola and in the Panhandle area. But basically, we're seeing a lot of these companies, and it's the bigger companies, they're changing what they're offering with the Medicare Advantage plans. Before, we saw a lot of PPO options where the clients had more capability of going in or out of network, and they didn't have to stay and get referrals like an HMO may ask them to do. And we've seen a lot of those PPO plans pretty much go out. They've pulled them out of the market for next year, eliminated the plans. We've also had several chronic condition plans where they gave people extra benefits if they had a chronic condition that they qualified for. We've seen some of those plans terminate. So you have people, especially in our market there in Pensacola, that, you know, they're coming up to us and saying, hey, I got a letter saying my plan's not going to be available next year. I need to change my plan. So the first thing I want to go over with the Medicare Advantage is they are year-to-year plans, and they do change every year. So if somebody's going to be in that system, which 50% of the people are, then they need to go out and they need to look every year at the end of the year. This is the time of year we shop them. And they really need to look at everything from the deductibles to the prescription copays to the networks to, you know, maybe my plan benefits these extras that I was getting. You know, we all see the commercials on TV where, you know, they get a gym membership and over the counter and they get, you know, food card or, you know, but some of those things are going away next year, and people are going to come in at the beginning of the year and they're going to keep their plan without shopping it. And they're going to go, what happened? And then it may be too late to switch them. So I think a lot of the clients out there that are listening, they really need to pay attention to the time of year we're in, because there's an enrollment period that goes from October 15th to December 7th, where everybody in the country can change their plan, which will go into effect January 1. So right now is the time to shop. And, you know, that's why they can call us. We have, like I said, we have 20 plus advisors in the local market. I think we're staffing, you know, we have tabletops and, you know, 10 or 11 Walmarts in the area. So we're accessible for people to come in. And I think where David and I and our group of people there in Pensacola are different. We can sit down with somebody, get their doctors, get their medications, put them in our platform, and we can help them shop. And we can look at every single company, every drug plan. So one of the things we always try to do is be time efficient with our clients. Last thing I know, you know, I have family members I help. They don't want to go meet with XYZ company and then go meet with ABC company. And then, you know, they can come to a one-stop shop. We can shop it with them and we'll help them figure out what the best plan is going in 2026. You know, you mentioned some of the things about, you know, pulling out qualified funds. Now, again, that goes back to the IRMA, which affects the way people pay for their Part B, the cost. If people aren't careful, and I know that was brought up and David wanted to bring that up. We've had several clients that, you know, hey, I'm going to cash in my IRA and go buy a car or go buy a house, or, you know, maybe it's wiser to use a different asset where it's not fully taxable, because they don't realize pulling out that IRA, a large sum of money like that affects their income, which in turn could cost them thousands of dollars in premium down the road with Medicare. A lot of times advisors don't even link income or selling off assets with Medicare. And it, you know, last thing we want to do is advise somebody to do a financial plan, pull this money out, and then don't tell them, oh, by the way, 2 years from now, you're going to owe $8,000-$10,000 extra in Medicare premium because of what I advised you today. So we try to be real careful looking down the road, looking down that pipeline of retirement. Hey, you know, Medicare is important. Let's make sure we plan properly with your health care and with your Medicare.
Man, if anything we shared on this week's show makes sense to you and you could use some help with a free, no obligation retirement consultation, well, don't hesitate to give us a call. We do this show to bring important information to people like you, and we love meeting our listeners. So visit retirementplanningpipeline.com or call 850-424-8977, 850-424-8977 for your personalized investment checkup. All right, coming up, stay right there because we'll explore how health decisions and longevity planning tie back into your overall financial wellness. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. We're back after this.
30 years of combined retirement planning experience. Call David and Steve today at 850-424-8977. The Retirement Planning Pipeline will be right back.
Missed part of today's show? The Retirement Planning Pipeline is available wherever you get your podcasts and at retirementplanningpipeline.com.
Welcome back inside the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that delivers expert insights, actionable advice, and real-world strategies to help you retire confidently and comfortably. Jim Tarabocchi here alongside retirement planning specialist David Pipes and Steve Zarek. Steve, here with the final segment of our show. Thank you for making this program a part of your weekend on whichever platform of your choosing. Hey, here are some quick 2026 Medicare facts that you need to know. 65 million plus Americans are enrolled in Medicare. 54 million have Part D drug coverage. Medicare premiums stay mostly stable, but regional differences are indeed growing. Quick tip, use Medicare.gov's Plan Finder. Again, that's Medicare.gov's Plan Finder. Or talk with a licensed advisor to compare 2026 options. Check both star ratings and doctor networks before you lock in. In 2026, Medicare is leaner, stricter, and more competitive. Fewer plans in most markets means it's the perfect time to review your coverage before changes catch you off guard. Visit our website, retirementplanningpipeline.com, or call 850-424-8977, 850-424-8977 for more information. Steve, how financial planning and health affect each other. The feedback loop between health and wealth, prevention, longevity, and financial resilience. Longer lifespans equal longer retirements equal greater healthcare costs. Steve, you know, I've heard this saying many times, health equals wealth. And a lot of people my age, when we were younger, we were saying that. It's like what people, all the kids say now, the 6-7 or whatever that saying is, right? Health equals wealth. A lot of people my age, and David can certainly relate to this, we used to always say that. Health equals wealth. Well, back then, it was kind of BS, but at least for people our age. But when you talk about health equals wealth and people with entering the Medicare phase of their lives, that's something that is, it rings true, and it's very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Health equals wealth. That's a good one. I mean, it's the kind of going in hand in retirement. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the healthier people usually have more money because they're not spending it on healthcare. But it could go the other way. They could be spending it on cruises and trips and having fun. So, you know, I think it's important when you talk about retirement planning, you know, sitting down and looking at, you know, what your healthcare picture looks like. And because as we get older, we all know, you know, illnesses take place and injuries, and yeah, our body just can't keep up like it used to when we were your age, Jim. But anyway, so one of the things, you know, when we're getting into this and in this segment, we talked about Medicare, and, you know, I talked a lot about Medicare Advantage, and I want to go back a little bit on original Medicare with a supplement. You know, supplement coverage, you know, they started those, they standardized supplements back in 1992. And basically what that means to people out there is if you decide you want to go to original Medicare and stay with original Medicare and buy a supplement to cover the gaps, then what you have to do is you basically have to shop the different plans that are available. And I'm going to give an example of what's called a Plan G, as in G as in girl. That's pretty much a comprehensive supplement today. You have to pay a Part B deductible, which is under $300. And after that, pretty much everything Medicare covers, the Plan G picks up the gaps. So when you're looking at a Medicare supplement in original Medicare, what you have to keep in mind is it's private insurance companies. So insurance companies are out there to make money. We all know that. But a Plan G is a Plan G no matter what the company. They have to abide by the Medicare regulations. So if I'm comparing companies and prices, you know, and a lot of times we find this, people be paying, you know, $50, $60, $70 more per month for the exact same coverage that they could get with another company. Now, what they have to be careful about, and this is real important in retirement, depending on our health, is if, you know, they want to switch companies, they have to answer some health questions. Now, they're not going to make you run a treadmill and give blood. There really are black and white questions, yes and no questions. They go back a couple years looking at the major illnesses or if you've had surgeries or anything coming up in the future. But if you can answer no to the questions, then you can switch your insurance. Just like if you bought car insurance and you had a good driving record and you want to switch your car insurance. So it behooves people in retirement, especially talking about longevity. You know, I just helped a gentleman down in South Florida who's 93 years old switch a supplement, and he got approved, and it saved him almost $58 a month for the exact same coverage. And he's like, "Steve, you think I can get approved?" I said, "Well, let's go through the health questions." So it really is that easy. And that's being wise with your money, especially if you're going to live longer. I don't know about you, Jim, but nobody else, I don't want to pay more for insurance than I have to. So that's one of the ways we can help. Is looking at those Medicare supplements, picking out a Medigap plan, and making sure they keep up with them year after year. Now, on your Advantage side, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but let's go into what you were saying there about the Medicare Advantage. I also want to talk about this number that was kind of striking to me. 54 million, Steve, have Part D drug coverage. As an advisor, what do you make of that number?
Well, when I started, we didn't have anywhere near that many. So it's a huge, huge number. It's a big number, 54 million people. I mean, that's...
Let me ask you this. When you started, 65 million plus Americans now are enrolled in Medicare. What was the number when you started?
In Medicare? Oh, it wasn't even close to that. I don't know the exact number, but it's, you can probably look that up faster than I can. But right. Yeah, I mean, 30 years ago, we didn't have that. We have this, you know, 11,000 some people a day turning 65. It's a massive amount of people coming into the marketplace. And that's where, you know, when you talk about Part D, that whole prescription landscape changed, you know, talking about Part D drug coverage, that changed this year in 2025. The good news is there's a cap on what people that are on Medicare Part D will pay in co-pays throughout the year. So that was the positive change. The difference in the change, actually, it flipped it, because last year, people on a Part D plan would pay so much for prescriptions. They pay their co-pays. The pharmacy company would pay and the insurance company would pay. And once they hit a certain amount, they went into what's called catastrophic. And then by the end of the year, you know, hopefully if they were on, I mean, if they were on a lot of meds, they would go to zero copays at the end of the year, but it was usually at the very end. But that, that seemed like the copays were changing and people were real confused. This year they flipped it. So the bulk of the money going out for prescriptions is in the beginning of the year. And once they hit 2,000 out of pocket, then they pay zero the rest of the year. So a lot of my clients are like, why am I paying so much in January and February, March? And then, it, you know, and I'm like, well, hold on. As you get out through the year, you're going to go to zero a lot faster. And that number went to, I believe it's 2,100 for next year out of pocket max. So there are some good things that happen, but the way they're happening is really affecting the retirement population because they may go in January with a high tier medication and all of a sudden they're paying a $600 deductible. Then they have to pay the copay where last year or this year, they didn't have to do that. So a little bit of planning has to come into play. I don't want people in January getting hit with sticker shock when they go to fill their prescriptions and going, I can't afford $1,000 this month. What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned earlier in 2026, Medicare plans and Medicare in general, it's leaner, it's stricter, and it's more competitive. Is that how you see it right now as a financial advisor?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about these major companies are looking to make profit, and you got the stock in these major companies, you know, the United Healthcare's and the Humana's out there. These are the big players in the space. And if anybody follows the economics of those companies, they, you know, they haven't been doing too well lately. And, you know, they've had to absorb a lot of these costs they weren't aware of. So in turn, you know, to mention what you're talking about, Jim, these contracts, these policies, they're getting leaner for the customer. So it really behooves them to spend time this enrollment period meeting with an advisor, looking at what's out there next year, not being, you know, too many times I talk to people like, oh, I'm fine. I've had this plan for 2 or 3 years and I'm good with it. Well, don't be that. You have to change your mindset because what's happening, the economy is making us change. And if we don't change, it could affect our pocketbook next year. So that's where we come in. We have advisors. I can help. We have, like I said, 20 plus advisors locally in the Pensacola area that we can sit down. We can spend some time going through their plans and really looking at the future and helping them with their retirement because health is so important, you know, especially, you know, we all talk wealth and we talk about retirement. You don't want to have issues with your health care in retirement. That's the wrong way to go.
Yeah. And it's almost, if you have issues with your health care in retirement, you hate to say this, but it's almost on the person, the consumer, the person who's having those health care problems, because this is something that they didn't address when they had the opportunity to do such. And I'm sure you've run into those situations before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very good point. You know, when it comes to, we're talking about the Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement, you know, the Medicare Supplements, you have to, if you've outside your guaranteed issue period, which we can explain one-on-one with people, but if you're outside that guaranteed issue period, you have to qualify to get the Medicare Supplement. So sometimes people jump into these Medicare Advantage because there's no extra premium and maybe they're getting a gym membership and then all of a sudden, you know, they have cancer or something and, you know, they can't get the care they want, or now they're paying 20% of the bill until they hit their maximum out of pocket. So now all of a sudden they got a sticker shock and they owe $10,000 in bills on a Medicare Advantage, may not have owed that when they had a Medicare Supplement. And they call us up and they say, hey, Steve, David, I want to switch to a Medicare Supplement. Well, you can't because you have to qualify now. So that's real important that people meet an advisor, figure out what they want their health care to look like in retirement. You know, maybe they travel. Maybe they have certain doctors in other parts of the country that they want to see. Maybe they have doctors that don't take network plans. You know, maybe their network works great and they want to use a network plan to save money. That's where we come in and really help them make those decisions. And now more than ever, I mean, with what's happening out there and seeing all these changes, I mean, it's to me, 5-6 years ago, there weren't as many changes. Now they really have to be involved in. And it's kind of on them, Jim. Like you said, if they're not calling us, they're not meeting with us, then we can't help them.
Right. And before we sign off, we do want to give the information. Reach out, retirementplanningpipeline.com, or call 850-424-8977. And again, before we let you go for this week, episode number 9 on the podcast side of things. And of course, thank you for joining us on the radio side this and every Saturday morning. A quick reminder, if your current plan feels a little bit too fragile for today's markets, well, now's the time to strengthen it. Again, visit retirementplanningpipeline.com or call 850-424-8977 for a volatility stress test and personalized protection plan. And if you missed any part of today's show, Steve, what do they do?
Subscribe to the program in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, or whichever platform of your choosing. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. Search Retirement Planning Pipeline on YouTube for clips and special content as well. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline for David Pipes, Steve Zarek, Jim Tarabocchia. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that helps you take control of your financial future. Whether you're 5 years from retirement or just getting started, retirement planning specialists David Pipes and Steve Zarek have the strategies, tools, and experience to help you make the most of your nest egg. Take control of your financial future and get started today by visiting retirementplanningpipeline.com. And if you missed any part of the show today or want to catch up on past episodes, be sure to subscribe to the Retirement Planning Pipeline wherever you get your podcasts. Not affiliated with the United States government, AmeriLife agents do not offer tax, legal, or investment advice. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. This information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of the respective owners. AmeriLife assumes no responsibility or liability for the content of this message. The information contained herein is provided on an as-is basis with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the results obtained from the use of this information. Charles David Pipes and Steven Zarek are individually licensed and appointed agents. Learn more at retirementplanningpipeline.com.
Any bonuses mentioned may be subject to additional restrictions and regulations based on the offering annuity company. You may not receive the bonus if the contract is fully surrendered or if traditional annuitization payments are taken. And if the policy is partially surrendered, it could result in a partial loss of bonuses. Because these are bonus annuities, they may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, and other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a bonus feature.
We are here at the tail end of October, but it's been Respiratory Syncytial Virus Awareness Month. Now, you might say, what in the world is that? It's more commonly known as RSV, which is a common, contagious, potentially serious respiratory illness that really does kick off circulating in the fall and in the wintertime. Joining me now to talk more about RSV and its dangers and all of that, I've got Dr. Leonard Friedland, who's the Vice President and Director of Scientific Affairs at and Public Health at GSK North America. Dr. Friedland, how are you, sir?
I'm great, and thanks for your interest in this important topic.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We also have Carol with us. She's a national senior games athlete. Carol, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, no worries at all. It's great to have you both. And, you know, Dr. Friedland, let's just start with you. Kind of give us a baseline here of why RSV is so, it's just so important to draw attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. So RSV is the respiratory syncytial virus. We just call it RSV for short, and it's common and it's contagious and potentially serious, especially in infants and in older adults. And this virus affects the lungs and our breathing passageways, and it's most likely going to be spread in the fall and winter. So right now, this time of year. And many people associate RSV as a disease of infants, but indeed it also is a serious disease in adults. And that's because adults with RSV can develop serious complications, including hospitalizations, visits to the intensive care unit, and even die from this disease. In fact, in the United States, for people 65 years of age and older, it's estimated there's about 177,000 hospitalizations due to RSV each year. And unfortunately, of those people hospitalized, about 14,000 will die as adults from RSV each year in the United States. And so who's at risk? One risk factor is advancing age, especially above the age of 75. But also for people 50 to 74 who have underlying medical conditions, such as asthma, and you'll hear about Carol's story as well. She has that particular underlying medical condition. But other medical conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, weakened immune systems, places adults 50 to 74 also at increased risk from severe outcomes from RSV. And so as this virus circulates in the fall and winter, now's the time to get informed, have the information, and take steps to try to prevent this disease. And we can talk a bit more about what those preventative steps are.
Yeah, definitely so. Carol, though, tell us, the doctor kind of teed us up here to talk about your particular experience with RSV. I mean, you obviously, as a National Senior Games athlete, you're someone who is very active, but you still have had this personal experience with RSV. Tell us about that.
Thanks, Matt. Of course I would. Yes, like Dr. Friedland said, I was one of those people that experienced that. I was also one of those people that thought it was only for babies. I do have an underlying condition, and I definitely have asthma. And as a result of that, my experience was definitely severe. I had it at 55, so I was in that younger age group, but between that closer to 50. So I didn't even originally realize that that's what I had. But what I do know is when I had it, it was debilitating. It really stopped me in my tracks. As an athlete, we're generally used to being able to push our body to do things. We know what our body's capable of, and we know our breaking point because we're always trying to get to that breaking point as we train. But severe RSV was my breaking point. It definitely broke me for a period. I wasn't able to even get out of the bed. And that made it difficult because I'm very much used to pushing past things and making things work. It did not. It was very difficult. I couldn't breathe. I could barely sit up. I had fever, joint aches, everything. There was just a lot going on that it was completely what felt like it was out of my control.
Wow. And I bet that is something that probably changed your view of your health overall. I mean, like you said, you thought that maybe this, RSV was just something for infants, but I guess this is kind of a wake up call, health wise, even though you're, a healthy person and an active person, I bet it probably changed your perspective on a lot of things.
Absolutely. It changed my perspective in not taking my health for granted. Because I'm an active athlete, I thought I wasn't taking my health for granted. I thought I was taking care of myself. I thought I was doing everything that needed to be done. I managed my nutrition. I managed my training. But what I forgot to manage is my overall health. So it gave me a view of more holistic health. It made me talk to my doctor about what options were for me. Once I became ill, I realized that I needed to be more active in my overall health care. So it definitely changed my view there.
Yeah. And Dr. Friedland, you mentioned, some of the preventative or, kind of the proactive steps that people can take in preventing severe RSV. Go through some of those, if you will, because as the old saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure here.
Yeah, absolutely. So RSV is a common contagious respiratory virus. And just like all of the other respiratory viruses, hand washing, staying away from people who are sick, ourselves if we're sick, not exposing other people. These are all the important things. Of course, as we get older, we also want to focus in on our overall nutrition, exercise, sleep, etc. But the virus is contagious. And the best tool that we have is prevention. And the reason for that is that there is no treatment for RSV. There's no medication to take that will stop the progression of this or treat or cure this illness. When people are sick with RSV, the treatment is supportive. It's oxygen, hydration, and just getting them through the illness, managing fever, for example. So the best tool that we have is vaccination, because vaccination is one of the best ways to reduce the risk of those severe outcomes from RSV, including outcomes such as hospitalization. And the good news is that there are now three different RSV vaccines that are available for use in adults here in the United States. The Centers for Disease Control recommends a single dose of an RSV vaccine for all adults over the age of 75 and RSV vaccination for adults 50 to 74 with those underlying medical conditions like asthma, COPD, diabetes, weakened immune systems. So the best tool we have is knowledge. And that's what speaking to you today is all about. That's what our TV special, Redefining Aging with Senior Athletes, is all about. And also the information we have at our website, sidelinersv.com. get those resources, have that discussion. Now's the time to speak to the doctor, the pharmacist, learn about RSV, and speak about options such as RSV vaccination.
Very good. Well, we'll send our listeners in that direction to the website as well. That's going to just about wrap us up here. But Dr. Leonard Friedland with GSK North America and Carol, who is a national senior games athlete, thank you so much both for sharing, especially Carol, sharing your story here with us. Really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Investment advisory services are offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and AmeriLife are separate companies but are affiliated through common ownership. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM but are offered and sold through individual licensed and appointed agents, not affiliated with Social Security, Medicare, or any other federal program.